Get ready to get your nerd on.
Kick the week off right with games, gadgets, and general geekery from the ladies of the Electric Sisterhood on the Eshcast.
On Tuesday, the J-pop and alternative hotspot hits your eardrums on No Borders, No Race.
Geek Aggro is coming at you on Wednesdays to fill what's left of your cerebral cortex with the hottest beats to get you on your feet.
Then you have me, Phil the Issues Guy, with the live issues program's post-episode recaps on live right after your favorite shows and taking all of your questions.
It's going down each week, only in the land of Ash. Nerdcore at its finest.
And now, the Boston Bass Super Game, Electric Sisterhood, and Omnistry Inc. proudly present No Borders, No Race, The World.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders, No Race. I am your host, King Baby Duck. You know, with the amount of video games that have come out this past year, whether it be in physical or downloadable form, it's still pretty hard to tell which will wind up good or which will wind up terrible. Sometimes you can try out a demo if you're lucky, but these days, developers aren't even releasing those on a regular basis. That's why I started to reminisce about the days of video game shareware. Back in the early 90s, companies like 3D Realms, Epic Games, and id Software would release titles in shareware form. You'd pay a few bucks, or sometimes you get it for free, and it would feature the first part of the game. Not like one or two levels, I'm talking close to like 13 levels. Then, at the end of the shareware, you'd be encouraged to purchase the rest of the game in episodic formats. You'd also be given the okay to share the first part of the game with friends and family in hopes that you'd spread the word of these titles. That's how games like Doom, Wolfenstein 3D, Duke Nukem, and Commander Keen got their word out. It was a smart business model, and while companies like Telltale Games will do that for their episodic adventures, you don't really see it happening these days. Maybe it's just the nostalgic part of me, but I would personally like to see more developers look back at this shareware model and give it a go. Imagine if CD Projekt Red charged 10 bucks for people to pay the White Orchid part of The Witcher 3, and then if you wanted to continue, you just placed down the remaining 50 for the rest of it. Or if Defiant Development were to release the first few parts of Hand of Fate for 5 bucks, and if you liked it, you could put down 10 for the rest of it. It's a business model that worked amazingly back in the day, and if they can do it right, I think gamers will be able to separate the good titles from the bad ones with less cynicism and a much happier wallet. But that's my honest opinion about it. I don't know what you guys think of it. Tell you what, share your thoughts on shareware and if it should be making a comeback on our Facebook, or write to us at thebastards@bossandbastardgame.com with your comments. And who knows, if you guys write, I may even read them off on a future episode. Okay, enough chit-chat, let's get this week's playlist started. Remember, as always, if you like what you hear and want to support these artists, you can grab just about all these albums and EPs from cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record store. Now, on the new anime series, Seiyu's Life, which you should, like, totally watch if you haven't, the show ends with the three main characters talking about their experience within the episode before breaking into an anime-themed cover. This past week, they wound up singing one of my absolute favorite opening theme songs, and right now, I'll be playing the original version on this show. This one could be heard in the 2007 series, Sayonara Zetsubou Sensei. Here is Kenji Utsuki, featuring cast members Ai Nonaka, Marina Inoue, Yu Kobayashi and Miyuki Sawashiro performing Hito Toshite Kikuga Muete. from that great romantic album, that was Detroit 7 with This Love Sucks. And I hope you all took a listen to that retro episode of 101 I posted last week featuring the band. The other day, I started watching the new Ultraman series on Crunchyroll, Ultraman X. It's like the 24th incarnation of the original Ultraman series, and it focuses on Daichi, a member of a force known as the Xeno Invasion Outcutters, or Zeo for short. Spark dolls have awakened in the depths of Earth, transforming into massive kaiju that wish to destroy humanity. One day, Daichi is given the powers of a heroic giant going by the name of Ultraman X. If you've seen an Ultraman series before, you probably know the gist. A Monster of the Week type of show, in vain of Power Rangers, Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad, and Big Bad Beetleborgs. While watching this series, I was starting to get bothered by something. No, it's not that the monsters are played by dudes in rubber suits. That's part of the whole charm of the series. What raised an eyebrow was how the show just seemingly felt the need to do some sort of toy tie-in at around every corner of the show. I don't know if it's just this recent version of Ultraman or if it's been going on in past versions. To be honest, I haven't watched Ultraman since the Tiga era when that aired on Fox Kids like many a moon ago. Now let me explain what I mean if you haven't seen it. Whenever Daichi or some other member of Zeo uses an object, or they pull out one of the Spark dolls, they do so in a way that makes it seem like whoever was filming it really wanted people to take the object in on view, as if they're planning to release said object as a toy somewhere down the line. It's like they're trying to subliminally tell its viewers, young and old, that these things are cool, and that they should like totally buy them when they come out. And it's not subtle at all. It feels very in your face. We know there are many a toy based on popular TV properties and vice versa. But for the most part, these shows don't seem to be trying to sell something. Hell, even My Little Pony Friendship is Magic focuses more on telling a great and entertaining story rather than trick kids and parents to buy some product. But Ultraman X seems more focused on selling a toy than it does telling a thorough tale. Granted, it's always cool seeing Ultraman battling kaiju, but when the monsters aren't on screen, it just seems to drag for far too long. And it's a shame because this show, Ultraman, it's had such a shiny legacy since its origins in the 1960s. If you want to know what I'm really talking about, you can watch Ultraman X on Crunchyroll. I myself am going to still watch it, but at the moment it feels like I'm just viewing a very expensive infomercial. Hopefully it'll change as the series progresses, but right now I'm kind of disappointed with this new series. Also, am I the only one who just really wants to punch Dr. Gurumon square in the face solely because it looks like a steroid Jar Jar Binks? I'm sorry, but when you see a character that looks like that abomination from The Phantom Menace, you just want to strangle it. Not to mention, it looks like it just has like these sort of like giant balls for chins. It just looks kind of stupid in my honest opinion. Whoever thought of that design probably should be fired from the Ultraman team. I'm sorry, whoever designed Dr. Gurumon, it's just, that is an abomination in every sense of the word. Alright, let's return to some music. Coming up next, we have J.P. Regal, better known as the frontman for The Broken Broadcast. He just released a new solo single on his Bandcamp page, and we're going to spin it right here and now. It's called We've Already Seen the Dead.
Tonight, gonna try and make you laugh. I fall off the sofa again, try and make amends. 'Cause we've already seen the dead, and we know just how it ends. Come around. You can come round my house tonight. gonna try and make you smile. Fall off the sofa again seems to be the trend, 'cause we've already seen the day and we know just how it ends. Come around. We've already seen the dead and we know just how it ends. We've already seen the day.
だって言ってる。してきた目にさ振って。
Anna Scott Band with Super Duper from Volume 1 of What a Wonderful World. Anna Scott Band were out of con this past weekend and will be also doing a show in New York City this Thursday at the Gramercy Theater. This weekend, a new film from Training Day director Antoine Fuqua and Sons of Anarchy creator Kurt Sutter was just released. Southpaw, starring Jake Gyllenhaal, Forest Whitaker, Rachel McAdams, and Curtis 50 Cent Jackson. The film follows the fall and rise of Billy Hope, an undefeated boxer at the top of his game, whose life is 180'd after tragedy strikes his family. He loses his belt, his house, the custody of his daughter, and just about any purpose of life. Enter Titus Willis, a retired boxer who works at a gym helping underprivileged kids via training. With his help, along with another chance at the belt, Hope does everything he can to stay afloat. First things first, the fight scenes are amazingly choreographed. There are moments where the punches thrown look real. In fact, I wouldn't be too surprised if some of those blows did in fact land on these actors. And the way it was shot was just straight out fantastic. There are moments where you get a sort of first-person perspective of the fight as you look to see what it's like to get smacked right in the face with a haymaker or a jab. It was kind of like this Oculus Rift game I saw on the E3 floor a few weeks back. I can't remember the name of it, though. The acting, too, was very good. Gyllenhaal takes on the role of Billy Hope, enshrining this image of a champ that's taken one too many hits physically and emotionally. And you have to give it up for him for all the training he went through to get in shape for a role like this. Say what you will about like his movies, but Gyllenhaal knows how to properly transform for any role. If you don't believe me, watch End of Watch, Brokeback Mountain, or Nightcrawler. The same goes for Whitaker, who takes on the role of Willis like a failed sage destined for another chance at life. The writing is great for the most part, with Sutter able to bring out both the best and the worst of these characters. I will say, though, that maybe a tiny bit of the dialogue felt cliché. There are a couple moments where Hope is with his daughter, angry at him for letting the police place her with child services. You can understand the pain she's in, but they could have done something maybe a little more original with the dialogue. I may be just nitpicking, but it just needs to be said in my opinion. Despite this minor complaint, I will say that Southpaw was definitely worth a trip to the theater to see. In fact, I once saw this with Pandalicious from Electric Sisterhood, and she told me that this film made her want to start watching boxing. I'd say that's a good sign that a film was very enjoyable. It's in theaters now all across the country in America, and hopefully by the time this review airs, it will have opened somewhere near the top of the box office. Now in our next segment, 42 Believer will be joining us, as what you'll hear had to sadly be cut from last week's show, but I'm one to never waste a good discussion. So we'll be back to that shortly after we spin a couple tracks. Here's one of my favorite bands from this past year's South by Southwest Festival, and they go by the name of Maho Shoujinin Naritai. This comes off of this year's Boku no Shoichi EP, and it's called Meteorite.
Dinosaur, we got in a bummer, now you're here. しさが君の頬流れる前に君を迎えに流れていくから旅立つ準備と覚悟を決めてね、そんなに誰だと怖くはないから。
Watch your step, put your foot.
had cement from their Black Licorice release. Convoy would later be reformed as Louis XIV a couple years later, a band that would become one of my absolute favorites. So in recent news, it has come to our attention that the TV series MTV's True Life is looking to do an episode based on anime and cosplay, but the show is called I Want to Look Anime. And for me, my concern about this is that they're going to be picking people, because they're currently doing the auditions right now, correct?
Yes.
So my concern is that they are going to pick the most outrageous of people. And because of that, it's going to fit into the stigma of the mainstream people that, oh, I guess this is what all anime fans are like. Which is something that we, people like you and I, Sarah, have been kind of proving false these last, well, practically all of our lives, to put it bluntly.
Yeah.
So, like, it's really difficult to really explain to our viewers, our listeners, rather, what a show like this, what sort of damage this kind of show could actually make. Because I remember a couple years ago when MTV was at, were they at Anime Boston a couple years ago looking for auditions?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Because here's what I worry about when it comes to this sort of stuff. It's that when they pick this person, they're going to have the most outrageous thing. They want to look anime. And the fact of the matter is, in these days, if you watch an anime, any show, even if it's a slice of life show, people of anime look very normal.
Yeah.
Like if you watch Ouran High School Host Club or Azumanga Daioh or Love Lab, these are characters, slice of life, or Honey and Clover, another one, average looking people. They don't have crazy ass hair like in Dragon Ball Z or Killer Kill or stuff like that. But a lot of people, I feel, aren't knowledgeable about these types of shows. So when people are going to watch I Want to Look Anime, you're going to see people who are going to expect people to look like characters from, say, Yu Yu Hakusho, or JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, or Inuyasha. Something really, really, really crazy looking.
Well, and see, the thing is that it's not just, like, think about it not only in terms of, even if you have a normal-looking anime character and someone's trying to look like them, if you really truly want to look like that anime character, you have to, like, you know, do that crazy makeup that enlarges your eyes and contour your face with all this makeup and stuff like that if you want to get that cartoonish effect across.
Not to mention the hair gel.
Not to mention the hair gel, because I know that there's a girl in Russia named Anastasia.
Yeah, Anastasia Shipaki.
She calls herself an anime girl. And people have, like, this really, like, weird reaction to her, even though when she's, you know, all made up and you know, looking like she does, she doesn't look all that, like, scary, I guess? She doesn't look that extreme to me. It's not so offensive that I would, like, do a double take on the street if she passed me. Yeah, she looks, you know, different, but it's not really all that bad.
Right. Because I feel like she adds, maybe not a lot, but a smidge of realism to her look.
Probably a smidge, because she can't achieve, you know, what is truly the anime look, and that's why they include the tagline, have you considered surgery to fully achieve your dream look?
Ugh, god damn it.
Yeah, because
I did not see that part of the I want to look anime thing.
Yeah.
That's where you're gonna get the real crazy people on the show. Oh god, not again.
Yeah. Yeah, because that was, this is my first call to attention to this thing was through, because I'm part of, I really like Lolita fashion, which is looking like you're from the Victorian Rococo area, and I am a part of a bunch of communities on Facebook, and someone shared the news about them casting because they personally contacted people who were into the fashion asking them to come on the show.
Okay,
which is weird because that Lolita has nothing to do with anime in the first place.
Right.
But
I have a little bit of an interesting story because last year I was contacted on Facebook by one of the producers of the show Married at First Sight, and they wanted me to audition for it.
Oh, God, no.
I deleted that fucker faster than any other message I've ever seen in my life.
Well, see, the really interesting thing, and this is the reason why the Lolita community was so like, guys, this is happening. Avoid it, avoid it, avoid it. Is because a while ago, it was a few years ago, there was an episode of My Strange Addiction called I Want to Look Like a Doll.
That was the one where it was kind of Lolita based, but the thing was that
they had one guy and two girls, and two of the girls, one of them, you know, called herself a Lolita, and the other one really didn't, but she occasionally wore Lolita clothes, and they looked insane, because obviously if you go on any kind of reality television show, anything you say, they're going to edit to make you look stupid. So they just freaking, oh my God, they lambasted these two girls. They made them look like true mad people, like mad in the head, wrong. Something's wrong with them. And then the guy, he was the one who was doing all the surgery. Like, he got arm implants and like 10 different nose jobs and, you know, was sculpting implants to put on his abdomen to make him look like he had really good abs.
And I thought Heroes of Cosplay was terrible.
Yeah. I mean, just like, they're doing this and a couple of Lolitas actually responded to the thing. And, you know, but they're normal. And all the questionnaires, because they give you this questionnaire to fill out. And it's like, have you ever, like, gone to, like, you know, done something so you could pay for the clothing or surgery or makeup? How much drama? Like, they're asking all these questions trying to look for a problem that's not there. And they were rejected because they were too normal.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. I feel like that's just bad. It's bad for the image, it's bad for the people that they're focusing on, and it's bad for the people that they're denying to be on the show because it makes it feel like they're less worthy of being featured on a program that's their specialty.
Yeah. And so that's why, you know, that's why the Lolita community is very careful about these kinds of things. We're like, nope, we see it, nope, it's gone. We're not paying attention to it. No one apply. Don't make us look worse than people already think we are.
And that's the thing. I've never seen the Lolita style in a bad light. I don't understand where this negativity comes from.
The name. It's because of the name. People hear the name and they think the book, and it has nothing to do with the book at all.
You see, I didn't even know there was a book until that video you posted on the 42's Anime Reviews about that woman. I had no idea there was a book called Lolita.
Yeah,
I just assumed that it was a combination of a couple of words, or it was just the name of the style from the French 18th century.
Yeah, that's really all it is. It's just the Japanese heard the word and probably went, oh, that sounds cute, the way you say it, you know, Lolita, that sounds like it's like a very cutesy way of speaking in Japan. So that's probably why they chose that word, because the style is pretty cutesy and fancy. And Lolita means a lot of different things in a lot of different languages. In Spanish, Lolita is a nickname for Dolores.
Which one? But what is Dolores? Oh, is it just a name for...
Dolores is a name, yeah. Dolores.
Oh, Dolores. Dolores. Yeah. All right. Sorry about that. Oh.
No, yeah, that's fine. So that's what it is. It's just... Lolita is a nickname for Dolores. And, you know, and then in English, it's just a term that people usually use. Well, it's an outdated term, but the definition is a sexually promiscuous young girl. It means different things in different languages, and people just aren't willing to see that.
Right. Right. And they need to see how it's being used now, which is a sort of fashion.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking to someone who initially, like, all right, this is going to sound a bit strange, but when I was starting to hear the word moe, the word moe, I thought that was a style on its own. I thought that was like a moe sort of fashion, moe clothes, moe looks and everything like that.
All the moe.
Now, I had no idea. It was just to describe how a cuteness of a girl. I came up with the phrase, moe is when something is both sexy and cute at the same time.
Yeah.
Would you say that would be a right definition for that?
I don't know. It's just tricky. Because I don't think I don't think Lolita isn't in the English, it doesn't really mean cute. It just means sexy, but young.
Okay.
And things that aren't young can be moe.
Right.
So that's how I would, yeah.
So it's one of those words you got to be really careful as to how to use it.
Exactly.
I'm talking more about moe, but with Lolita, there's obviously right now an actual way to use it, and it's to describe this sort of fashion.
Yeah, it is. Because people don't use the word Lolita anymore to refer to sexually promiscuous young women. They use the word slut.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly.
It is really now in modern times specifically just for the fashion, at least that is in Japan and in people, you know, who are into the fashion around the world. That's the only way they use it. The only other time people use that word is when they're talking about the book, and people think about the book, and the plot of the book is, you know, a guy ends up, you know, getting into it with a minor who's a girl.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, really, really gross and abusive.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So they
yeah.
think of that, and then they think that that's the style, and they think it's some kind of fetish. And it's not. It's not a fetish. It's just wearing dresses that have cakes on them. Calm down.
So, yes. Remember, listeners, that's what Lolita is. It's dress. It's people who like wearing dresses with cakes on them.
Yeah. Moral of the story.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And also the moral is, if you hear about these auditions, do not go to them. Please.
Don't. They will just, even if they do accept you, they will just make you look like an idiot with their editing.
They will destroy you. Because I've had friends that have done reality shows, and they've made them look bad. Like, really bad.
It's just stay away. Just don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Now let's cross our fingers too that we don't hear that the next one is True Life, I Am Otherkin.
Oh, I was trying to avoid mentioning Otherkin, but you just did it for me.
You are welcome, because I feel like because this we needed to end this show on a good laugh.
Yes, we do. If you don't know what Otherkin is,
don't find out.
Okay, I won't tell him. you really don't want to know.
No, you don't want to know.
It'll make you lose faith in humanity. Just
yes,
don't do it.
Exactly. Well, 42 Believer, thank you so much for joining me here on No Borders, No Race this week. So, for our listeners, please tell them where they can find your stuff.
Well, you should follow me on Twitter at 42Believer, because I post lots of funny stuff. You should follow me on Facebook at facebook.com/42ZenimeReviews, where I post more other stuff. I'm on Tumblr at 42believer.tumblr.com, and that's just basically an amalgam of anime, Lolita, and cats. So that's kind of awesome if you're into that those kind of things. And of course, you can find me on YouTube. I am 42Believer there. And you should totally subscribe to me. And if you feel extra generous, donate to my Patreon campaign. I am 42Believer on Patreon as well.
Thank you again, Sarah, and hopefully you can come back on the show in the near future. Up next is a B-side from Scandal, whose Hello World documentary will be premiering this October. From their Sakura Goodbye single, this is Tokyo.
よ俺100年後の未来から来た hey, hey, hey. せっかくだし俺の時代の話を知るぜ20世紀のコカ・コーラの中に黒騎士の君が入った学校会社休めないのさ hey, hey, hey 窓の外にはザクみたいのがあちらこちらでサーベルショーです。向かいの建物は平均の150階建てで遠いガラスで空飛び車も帰るけど俺のは100年前の
Traveling Rock and Roller by the Emeralds from their Love is Rolling album. One of my favorite bands from the Japan Night Tours, the band now goes by the name of The Rubies after tambourine player Taro was discovered at a karaoke bar and the other three wanted him to join up. Well, that about wraps up this week's episode of No Borders No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, song requests, if you're in a band and want to be featured on the show, or if you have any questions for our friend Sawa Sensei, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. You can find me on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com. On Twitter at king_baby_duck and anime amino at kingbabyduckesh. Like us on Facebook.com/Boston Bastard Brigade and Facebook.com/Land of Esh. For all other articles under the gaming and geek realm, go to egmnow.com/Electric Sisterhood. And don't forget about the other shows under the Land of Esh, including The Electric Sisterhood, Geek Aggro, Issues Program, and Structure Network. Next week, we'll be premiering a new interview series that'll be a lot different from our one-on-one show. Although, if you've listened to our Jack Terrycloth interview a while back, you got a glimpse of what may be coming. So tune in soon to check that out. We're going to end things with the last band I saw at TT the Bears back in 2012. Flowbots. For one of our favorite albums of last decade, Fight with Tools, this is Rise, a great song that I think works well as a closer. And until next time, this is King Baby Duck reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard, but it sure helps.
Much pain, we don't know how to be but angry. Feel infected like we got gangrene. Please don't let anybody try to change me. Me, just me in the middle of a sea full of faces, full of faces. Some laugh, some salivate. What's in your alleyway? Recycling bins or bullet cases? It's not equal, it's not fair. We're different people, but we're not scared. We ain't never scared to pave a new path, make a new street, build a new bridge. Say, can you see by the dawn's early light? Free slaves running, songs, words weren't right. Now a new day's coming, the few stay stunning. While the many are handsome, your soul is alive, but they want it for ransom. The bass drumming is the anthem. We step to the heartbeats of our granddaughters and grandsons and rise together. We 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 rise. Lost hope and found need. Grounded by your surroundings. Did the walls scream universities? Or you and I verse the T's? React automatic and we burst and squeeze and make 9/11 each emergency. Urgency, amber to red like the turning leaves. Oh please let the hurting cease. Don't let apathy police the populace. We will march across those stereotypes that were marked for us. The answer's obvious. We twist the consonants and change the sword to words and lift continents.
Rise together, we 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 rise.
If you believe in redemption, I'm calling to you from another dimension.